Welcome back. Afternoons here with Tony Shebeki. Thanks for joining us. I'm here till 4 o'clock. Joining us now to have a chat about the cobalt situation. Of course, Race of Victoria is holding their investigations into numerous traders, including Peter Moody. Is Mick Sharkey from g1x.com.au. G'day, Mick.
Hello, Tony. Compliments of the season to you.
And to you too, buddy. You've done your Christmas shopping, all that sort of stuff.
Got it all sorted out. Even got the beer and the wine sorted today. Nothing worse than queuing up for a few stubbies and a couple of bottles of red, is there?
No, you don't just hand out Racing Victoria calendars to people you don't like or something like that. That's not your go.
No, none of that.
Recycled calendars. I love it. Hey, Mick, gee whiz, I'll tell you what, we can have a laugh here, but one bloke that's not laughing at the moment is Peter Moody. Cobalt case sort of wrapped up yesterday to an extent with all the oral submissions given out, but it looks like now that has been deferred, or a final submissions day has been deferred to the 18th of February. That could go on for another 2 or 3 days, and by the time they come up with the judgment, Peter Moody's not expected to really know his fate probably until early March.
Oh, Tony, it's unbelievable, isn't it? Like, this whole cobalt situation is fast becoming racing's Essendon saga,
exactly,
isn't it?
Exactly.
Really, it's dragging on. It's already been more than 12 months since these horses that were found to have high cobalt readings were tested. And we're getting, you know, to an end of another year and we still don't have a result for these very high-profile trainers. Obviously, Danny O'Brien and Mark Kavanagh still to earn their fate. Their judgment is expected this week. But whether that happens or not, you know, it seems to be a bit of a changing playing field every day with their case. Mm. But Peter Moody, as you mentioned, that case has been adjourned now until February 18. Look, there was Jeff Gleeson, the QC for Racing Victoria. He's unavailable. He's heading off on a cruise, and a couple of other members of the stewards panel are away. So, look, Judge Bowman decided that due to that unavailability, they'd postpone the final submissions and the rest of the hearing basically till late Feb. Now, what that does is effectively precludes Moody from going to the yearling sales, which of course begin in the first week of January, in the Magic Millions. Like, that's a seriously big sale. And a lot of these trainers, they're sort of buying 60 to 80 horses a year to replenish their stocks. It's akin to a footy team not being able to go to a draft.
Yeah.
Hugely important for Moody to be able to go and be active at the sales. As Judge Bowman said, look, you can still go and be active. And there's no ban stopping you from buying. And as he said, well, would I go and spend the $2 and $3 million that I usually do during a sale season, not knowing whether I'm going to be able to train or not in 2016.
It's a really, really awkward situation. Of course, we know that Peter's already told his staff that they're on notice, depending on what happens here. And is it correct that he's actually closed down his Sydney stable?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, he had a Sydney satellite stable and he moved to shut that down a couple of months ago. Did it without much fanfare. It was a small team of staff up there and he thought, look, it's better to consolidate and have all the horses in one place during this a time where there is so much uncertainty surrounding the business. And look, he did the right thing, as he noted when he advised his employees that, you know, they'd be basically having 2 weeks' notice when the case was due to wind up. So that's extended now, and it's not just Peter Moody that's affected here. Those staff members, they are sort of just waiting on tenterhooks as well to find out whether they're going to have a job. I think you'll find that no matter what the end result of this case is, and likewise with O'Brien and Kavanagh, they'll be taking this further. It'll roll on to VCAT, and then if they don't get a satisfactory result there, it'll roll on to the Supreme Court. We've seen a number of Racing Victoria cases be overturned via the Rad Board into VCAT and the Supreme Court. Mark Riley had a 3-year suspension overturned at the Supreme Court. That has been appealed by Racing Victoria. And in the meantime, all the while, these trainers are able to train on the stay of proceedings.
Yeah, it's a weird one.
Just continues to be drawn out. I can't think of any other sport that sort of handled integrity issues like this, could you?
No, this has been handled pretty badly. And I would think that from what I've read, and unfortunately, well, actually, I might say fortunately, I haven't been able to spend a day in the Rad Board hearing, which can get fairly tedious and the like. In this case, but I would think that from what I've read and from what I've heard from others, and you might confirm this for me, Mick, it would seem that the hope that the trainers do have is the fact that they didn't get given that first initial warning over the higher levels of cobalt initially. Is that something that would stand up then in the Supreme Court or VCAT more so than the Rad Board?
Yeah, well, that's basically normal procedure, Tony. Adrian Dunn made a good point about this. He's been in every day of these hearings, and he said that has become, you know, originally it was thought there'd be the science of cobalt that would be tested again, but following the training father and son partnership of Lee and Shannon Hope, where they went down that line and it didn't work out for them, I think the legal teams for Moody in particular have gone back and looked at the situation and said, look, these people, these trainers, should have been notified, as is the usual procedure of things. When a trainer has a positive, they're told so they can, you know, withdraw that horse from competition and try and work out what's happened or what's gone wrong, or if it's a feeding mistake or a medication mistake, whatever it is that's caused that problem. They weren't afforded that opportunity, and the horses were able to run with cobalt unbeknownst to the trainers. So that procedural stuff up, if we want to call it that, that may come back to bite the stewards on the rear end. And if it does, and if these cases, hypothetically, let's say the trainers are found guilty and suspended and then appeal to the public court system and then they're overturned on that basis, well, I know there's been a bit of talk about it in the press in the last day or so, but you would think that the Integrity Department for Racing Victoria would have to come under serious fire.
No doubt about it. Now, I think the other thing that also is a massive oversight by the stewards at the moment is the fact that Terry Bailey is on holidays. It was himself and a couple of others that came up with these stringent laws and in regards to the cobalt situation. I would have thought that they would have had to have been put on the stand to have a chat about that and why it was in regards to the levels that it's at now. For them not to be there and for them not to give evidence, I think, is another oversight as well, because I'm wondering whether that's going to jeopardise a case.
Well, it's common sense would surely prevail there. Look, I know that Terry has had leave booked and he's gone and taken that leave.
Well, just on that, Mick, a court case wouldn't go ahead if the arresting officers weren't there to give evidence.
Correct.
This is exactly the same thing, isn't it?
Why couldn't they say, look, Terry, we know you've got leave booked, but this case is pretty serious. This is a watershed moment for Victorian racing, particularly with the rules around cobalt. You need to be there. You're the chief steward. You've got to be there. Mm. Even if they took him out for a couple of weeks and then let him have 2 weeks extra leave at the end of it, it just seems to be sort of a haphazard approach to what is an incredibly serious matter. There are people's lives and businesses on the line here. And for the chief steward not to be there to represent and to stand up and explain why these rules should be carried through and followed through and how serious they are from his point of view, it just boggles the mind.
Yeah, final one for you, mate. Jeff Gleeson, we've seen him in action at the AFL Tribunal representing the AFL and the like. He went pretty hard yesterday on the feed boys, didn't he?
Hooly dooly, doesn't he? Come out of the blocks with all kinds of blazing.
He basically called him liars, didn't he? He basically said you did not feed that horse.
Yeah, and look, the accusations that he's levelled at Moody as well, and you know, short of calling him a cheat, he's basically insinuated everything else along those lines. And he does not pull his punches. He comes out, he's very aggressive, and you're dealing with people here that, you know, are working stable hands, basically. They're working around the stables. They've probably never been in this sort of court system or anything like that before, and they're getting grilled by an exceptionally knowledgeable and very aggressive QC. Mm. It's a very intimidating process for these people to go through.
Yeah, it certainly is. Mate, thanks for your time this morning. Really do appreciate it. Just before I let you go, a final one, and it'd be remiss of me not to ask you this. Highlight for the year, take out the Melbourne Cup, because that's what you're going to say.
Take out the Melbourne Cup. Well, the Melbourne Cup was good for me in another reason. I didn't back the winner, of course, at 100-1, but I do have a small interest in his full sister, trained by Henry Dwyer at Caulfield. So it's lovely when a little thoroughbred investment can double in value without even racing, Tony. But look, I think probably the highlight for me, twofold, Winx's Cox Plate win was absolutely outstanding. And look, he didn't win a jockey's premiership or anything like that, but Michael Walker's a jockey that I've followed closely, and to see that man's continual return to form at the top level is just really pleasing, particularly when, you know, in the media, you're with these guys and girls a lot of your time and you talk to them, you get to know them. It's just really satisfying to see somebody who's, you know, sort of went off the rails there for a bit, get back on and really make a go of it. So that was a really satisfying thing for me in 2015.
So there you go, listeners. Keep your eye out for about a year or two's time and you'll see a princess of Penzance out on the track.
That's right. Penthouse princess, her name.
Oh, there you go. Beautiful. Lovely. Good work. Hey, mate, have a great Christmas. Look forward to catching up in the new year.
Good on you, Tony.
Mick Sharkey joining us here on Afternoons.